Hello and welcome to episode 40 of Community Topics. We're back with some more Community Topics. We don't do these as often as we used to, but I'm very excited to, because there's always that feeling getting into it where it's like, ooh, I do not know where this is going to go. I have some couple thoughts, couple ideas, but I'm always very excited, similar to retreat episodes. A lot of uncertainty, but excitement.
Likewise, I'm very excited for this. They are a lot of fun. They're challenging and they make you really sit down and suddenly focus on a topic as opposed to just kind of going willy-nilly through your day. So that can be a fun exercise in itself. And admittedly, you get to look at things from a new angle that you might not have had it not been suggested by the community. In this case, our community topics are silence and epigenetics. And I thought that was really funny because at first I'm like, oh God, what are we going to do with that? I have no idea how to apply that. And so I let it sit for a little bit. And then I figured, okay, well, you know, it makes sense. Silence, the environment, the overall vibration of things, the chaos around us. And of course, our DNA trying its best to adapt to whatever the hell is happening. And so immediately I started thinking, okay, well, there we go. There's one angle to target, right? Like just the impact of noise in itself in terms of how it might have an adverse effect on us. And there have been studies about how noise has an adverse effect on our DNA, that it does in fact cause epigenetic changes that have an adverse effect on our brain, on our blood pressure, on our weight. So that was really interesting in itself. And then I stumbled across the fact that there was actually an expression in epigenetics or in genetics about noise, epigenetic noise, which is an expression for the amount of variation that exists within a group of cells that should be the same or very similar, and how that variation is also linked to certain adverse side effects. And specifically in the article I was reading, aging. That it was the increase of epigenetic noise that led to the aging process, and that what they were doing was basically wiping out that noise, and in doing so, helping mice that had aged and become blind develop the eyes of younger mice. And that was just through noise. So there's a lot to talk about in terms of like symbolism, not just for environmental noise, but the noise within our DNA, apparently the noise within our biology, which is just the degree of variation and how things, when they get more chaotic, tend to get out of hand, get all fucked up.
Oh, fuck. I'm getting a bunch of thoughts right now. And just the tie-ins, like the symbolism on all the scales, like basically the thought I had right before we hopped on was like, I can't confirm that we're just not just in a cell right now because everything's conveniently, you know, appropriate to my size and everything's quote unquote to scale, but there's no guarantee if anything, you know, as above, so below sort of thing. And so with the epigenetic noise, and I'm enjoying this because we're immediately kind of like going at them together. A lot of times we'll parse it out and then find a connection in between. But I think this one's perfect for this because there is a lot of crossover in the thought of epigenetic noise and the variations in there being a component of the aging process. Like, I find that to be very similar with the noise in our head, you know, our assumptions about things, our false certainties that we hold on to. And if that isn't, because then you could think like, oh, well, that's, you know, noise in thoughts. And it's like, how do you know that that epigenetic noise isn't very, very similar, if not the same thing as, you know, noise in our head, as thoughts, as the variations of things that we assume could be true about us, trying to pick one. It's like we're constantly going through. And so, and then you think about stress, you know, how stressful it is, how much we can fucking stress ourselves out, like create wrinkles for ourselves by being entirely lost in our mind, in that noise, in all the things that are just assumptions, just as a byproduct of trying to be certain about stuff we can't be certain about. And so that makes a lot of sense then that that's a component of aging. I came across a video that was talking about how quote unquote misaligned, the epigenetics are, it leads to cancer in a lot of ways as well, similar to aging, the variations and how out of alignment that it is. But with aging specifically, like, yeah, that noise, that would make sense that they're actually kind of part and parcel, you know, how you're thinking about things, and then the variations in the cells, if that cell isn't like almost storing the same experience as the thinking, that then is a variation of that aging process that's happening, you know, quote unquote physically and also mentally, but there's no disconnect, so they're components of basically the same thing.
And this is where I love the paper that was saying that DNA itself shows signs of awareness, right? On three different levels: awareness of itself, awareness of its environment, and awareness of how to act according to its environment. And so it's really interesting because we are our DNA, right? We tend to think of ourselves as our brain, but we're the whole structure expressing itself, right? And what's interesting is what you were saying is that the internal noise basically creates additional noise. It creates stress. And that's true, right? Because that's exactly what our internal noise does. It creates stress. And stress actually has a measurable epigenetic effect. And it interacts with us in the same way that we've often discussed the mess of our ego interacts with us. For example, not only will stress have a long-term effect on your body, it will leave a mark over time. Like if you have a long-term stress in your life and it maintains for long enough, that will pretty much stick with you forever, right? Unless you work really, really hard to heal through it. But that's what trauma does, right? Trauma is just a measurable impact that happened for probably a long time or happened with great intensity all at once, right? And so that causes a measurable impact in our ego and our mind, right? But the stress of that can also cause a measurable impact within our body. And so not only does stress leave an impact on our mind, but it leaves an impact on our body. Not only that, but, and I found this interesting, is that when our, how do I word this? I want to word this correctly. When our genes are altered by stress, it actually sometimes happens that they are altered so that they are no longer able to deal with stress to the same degree that they could previously. So they actually get weaker by virtue of the stress that they're experiencing, and it weakens their stress response further, creating this ongoing downward cycle. And isn't that exactly what our trauma is like in our head, what our stress is like in our head? The more it beats us down, the less likely we are to think that we can get back up. And we actually have to work that much harder. So I thought it was really interesting how the impact of stress on our DNA is actually very much like the impact of stress on our consciousness, on our inner awareness.
And so you take that far enough, you know, something traumatic that then goes and goes and goes, and thoughts about yourself and, you know, beats you down enough that eventually you end it, like you kill yourself. And because that's psychological, as much as it can stem from physical, it's psychological without a doubt. And so the continued pressure, and even, oh man, dude, like none of it's disconnected in the sense of like a memory, say a traumatic experience, something like for me, a few moments where I felt really, really embarrassed. And it was like this intense shame. And like those memories are right there, the feelings right there. And then the avoidance of those types of situations is right there as well. Like they all kind of go hand in hand and hand in hand. And it was rooted in an assumption to begin with, you know, and or a certain response based on something or a certain experience, be it, can they absolutely can be physical experiences, psychological, mental experiences, but then they kind of just trickle through all of those different things, you know, like the memory, the bodily feelings, the tension that you physically feel, the amount of noise that's in your head, like all those things get tied together from that. And then there's the avoidance of it that just reinforces and digs you deeper. And then it's like our most intense sort of thing. So of course it's because it's actually having impact on the fabric of us, especially as we maintain the idea that like some of that noise could be us. Like some of those thoughts could be us. Like one of them is, or a couple of them are a culmination. And that's the idea. You know, the idea of me is made up of that noise, or the thought that it could be, the thought that I could know myself, the thought that I could think about myself. Like just right there, the illusion that that's even a possibility makes us run for that noise and then reinforce all of it. But as soon as either the idea starts getting questioned, physically start relaxing, those start going hand in hand, and like all the sides of it start to unravel as well. But it's kind of like, as it unravels, it's like you're re-feeling it, because there's so much on top of that, you know, so much rigidity and tension on top of other rigidity and tension. But it's kind of like variations of that noise on top of the reality of what you are, which kind of is silence.
Yes and no, right? Because we're talking about the adverse effects of noise, but we're talking about a specific type of noise, right? We're talking about our interference, our control, like the inner noise, the stress that goes with seeing yourself as separate from reality and participating as such. Whereas genetic noise itself is a great thing, because without it, we wouldn't have organs and different parts of our body, right? Because all cells have the same genes, just expressed differently. And so genetic noise is a great thing when it's happening organically and according to, let's just say, a more nuanced intelligence. Whereas we get in there with our little ego selves and we start making all kinds of chaos and noise based on what we want. We're basically just, you know, rattling our cup against the bars. You know, I want this, I want this. And it causes all kinds of merry hell. Whereas the rest of the time, the noise that would be happening is the normal organic process of growth. Right. And we talked about this a bit in our community topics episode on cancer, but there's numerous different things happening at the same time. It's not just what you're doing individually. It's what's happening collectively as well with all the other individuals, not only suffering through the idea of themselves that they have, but through the lack of empathy that comes from that idea. So they start cutting corners and affecting the environment, and all of a sudden there's chemicals in fucking water and we're all impacted by it, right? Things like that. The same is true for noise as a whole. You know, the less peaceful you are in yourself, the more you're going to make a lot of fucking noise, not just in your head for yourself, but in the world around you. And this goes to the larger environmental thing that I was talking about earlier in terms of noise, because there's always noise, there's always sound. I mean, the only real silence is within you, but in the world around you, there's always sound, but there's different levels of sound. If you go into nature, you can immediately feel it. If all of a sudden the power goes off in your house, you can immediately feel it. But it has a measurable impact on us as well. They did a study with four groups of mice, and for a period of 3 days first, and then for a period of 3 weeks, they subjected these mice to between 45 to 75 decibels of sound all day long, all night long. During the day, they kept it to like 45, and then at night, I think they raised it up, or vice versa. Either way, there was this constant ongoing sound. The mice actually had measurable impacts to their health, to their brain size, to their blood pressure, to their body weight, all of that. And if you think about that, and then you go and you look at the fact that the decibel level in your average city is anywhere between 61 to 85 decibels, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that is largely caused by what? Our mentality. that need to drive the economy, that need to get to work on time, that need to make things more convenient, you know, the need for more and more cars, the need for more and more transit, the need for more and more. And so it's just noise, again, that comes not only individually experienced, but collectively expressed. And so it's funny to me because silence itself is very much like what we're communicating in terms of unity. Silence is potentially any noise, but no noise in itself. We're not necessarily looking for silence in our life so much as a way to align with organic noise, to hear the background sound, to hear the melody of life, as opposed to just screaming over top of it and then wondering why we're stressed out as we do.
Well said, because I finished off that last one saying, like, are we silence or whatever, but really it's like there's things, and this makes me think, because I've had this perspective that, like, oh, thinking is bad, sort of, sometimes, like, thoughts in my head, whatever, but really it's how much of an opinion do you have on top of whatever the fuck you're going through, which is that organic, natural state of change, growth. And that gets, we try and understand it as we go. And so we'll have certain thoughts arise. And it's not to say that the thoughts are the bad thing. That's a component of the change and the growth, the different thoughts. That as more considerations come in, there's less certainty. All of a sudden, you don't quite understand all the considerations coming in. So it's like, you're hearing your mind trying to process that stuff. So as you relax a little bit more, it can seem like with that state of relaxation, kind of like we were talking about, someone brought up on Patreon yesterday, as you relax more, all of a sudden you start hearing more, you start feeling more, you start being more opened up to potentials. And so it seems like things are getting noisier, but really they've always been that. You're just hearing more. You're just hearing more of it. But we're so entirely focused on ourselves that we don't recognize that that's just what's going on. It's like, oh, I'm, you know, my mind is thinking. No, it's like, well, yes and no. But you're just hearing more. And that's how you're translating all of the additional considerations and whatnot as certain things. And so it's like a baseline sort of thought, even because even a thought or even a feeling or an emotion then comes with a certain story on top of it. Or you can be very quick to jump to a specific story, given that a lot of times based on past traumas or the things you're afraid of or the things you're worried about, like variations from that and variations of experiences from that. And so as we go, I was going somewhere with that, but did you have any thoughts on it? Otherwise I had another point. Yeah,
you go ahead.
And all right. I have no idea where I was going with that, but the other thought I had was with in regards to white noise, and you were talking about how much, you know, cities and just the world has a certain hum to it. And we've talked previously about frequencies and, like, you know, quote unquote earth frequency or whatever, but like we're varying that in flux all the time. And so it's interesting how, just for myself in my own experience, like I used to have to listen to white noise to go to sleep. And now I hate it. Like now the quieter, the better. The more, the closer I can get to silent, I'm like, yeah, that's great. But when I'm going through shit, when I'm fearing certain things or worrying about certain things or focused on certain thoughts or considerations, I want that white noise back. I want that shit. Cause I'm left with myself. But then it's like, if you with myself and the things that I'm worried about or afraid of, whereas when I'm not so, you know, maybe there weren't things that I was focused on or trying to resist or whatever, there wasn't so much noise because they were still going through, but they were just going by. and I was more relaxed. And so it's been interesting for myself how much I think it's like I need the environment to match the internal, like the external match the internal in a way. And so without that, then it's like, oh yeah, it's actually quite nice. Or just hearing, you know, the wind outside or whatever, or the things going on, as opposed to that heavy, heavy white noise that I almost used to cover up the thoughts that I was having in my head.
Yeah, it's almost like a distraction, right? And that's kind of it, is that there's a natural sound to life, and then there's a superimposed sound to life that normally we want, that normally we gravitate to when we are trying to superimpose our will over life. You know, like some people really have a hard time sleeping in nature, and it's because they don't know what all the sounds are. Right. And that's the only reason, because in the house, you know what the sounds are. You're like, oh, that's probably the cat, or oh, that's the refrigerator. Whereas in nature, you hear something go snap and you go, fuck, what was that? It's a different kind of sound, but you have to trust in the fact that that's life doing its thing and moving. And I really want to go back to that, because our thoughts are kind of like a noise, but unless we're in there fucking with them, they're just kind of the background melody of life. Like they are the flow happening, the process of change. But just because it's playing doesn't mean we have to listen to it. We can continue to abide in the silence within ourselves. And that silence isn't a lack of music. It's a lack of paying attention to the music. Right? And it's a very different kind of thing. Because again, it's not that we don't want there to be noise. Noise is variation, as I said earlier. We like variation. It's just that variation that comes through interruption, that comes through trying to control it, that comes through a short-sightedness, usually ends up being a negative variation. It ends up being a variation with a consequence. Whereas organic variation, because it comes from a wider context, because it comes from fucking eternity, in terms of process and knowledge and wisdom, tends to evolve perfectly, you know, tends to work out just fine. And that's how life continues to grow. That's how evolution happens. That's how we became Homo sapiens. That's how everything changes, is through natural noise. Because the silence, again, is the potential that noise comes from. So I would say that it's really interesting that this episode was about how noise impacts our genetics, when in fact our genetics are a part of the noise, because it's not like we're not part of the environment. So we're impacting other people as much as they're impacting us. And yet underneath all of that is the silence, which is the unity of all of this. Because the noise only exists within that duality, within the experience of duality. The alternative is potential, which is silence, which exists nowhere.
Yeah, and so it's like we think that oh man, like our thoughts about, fucking A, hold on. oh, you gotta be shitting me. Like getting all confident, not writing anything in my book. The silence epigenetic. We hold on. It's right there. Environment. Yeah. We almost sometimes act like the environment and us are separate, and like, I mean, of course, I say that like we kind of do this thing sometimes where we think that we're separate from our environment. Like, yeah, that's pretty much the whole world right now, is that illusion. But you look at that in the face and the how deep that runs, it's like you're your environment. It's you. Like, this is all an expression of you shifting, changing, growing, doing things. And like you said, it's either stemming from eternity, being informed by eternity or being informed by a very, 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 not even remotely close comparison perspective. Tiny, tiny perspective. I don't think I had an adjective in there. I got too caught up in my varies. But this minuscule perspective of what's best. And so we're running around thinking that we can know that, but it's almost like there's so much noise that we're not even, there's so much between recognizing like, oh, we can just have faith. Oh, we can just step into a situation and there'll be things to do. Oh, maybe I don't know what's best. Maybe I don't have the answers that, and we're so far from that realization that it's like, even the thought of it is so frightening. It's kind of like the trauma getting built on built, the constant avoidance of certain things. It's like the thought of not having control, period, is like, whoa, that's so much. But that comes in variations and shifts as well. And even just the tiniest little letting go, relaxing in a spot that you typically tense up, like that's it. It's not all in one bite, like all those things. It is and it isn't, but it's in one bite in the sense of the opportunity right now. And like we're going through variations of things, experiences, situations that have a baseline degree based on our experience of whether we typically tense or we typically relax. And as those things come up, as you know, we choose to relax instead of tensing, because a lot of things we just like typically tense. We've tensed like a ton of times. So even just a little bit of relaxation in that spot can completely change the tide. And we know with the study of epigenetics that we do have variation. Like it's not even the conversation of nature versus nurture. It's like it's both happening right now. Like with this conversation, like with epigenetics, like I just watched a couple of basic YouTube videos about it. And it's like, oh, there. So we think we have our nature, and then depending on our nurture, we kind of shift, but the nature is baseline. It stays the same forever. It's like, no, the nurture, you are shifting the nature. Like we are nature shifting. Like we are in the midst of evolution right now. We haven't evolved and now it's done. And so that brings back a little bit more prioritization of just the experience you're having right now and how tense you might be versus how relaxed you could be. But you know, the more you go through certain things, you know, the more tension there may be. So it's not even maybe your stereotypical relaxation where you know, you're just like loosey goosey. It's just a tiny little bit like, you know what, I usually think that I shouldn't be tense right now. I'm going to be okay with being tense right now. And that starts a shift even just right there.
You know, it's always interesting to me because often we talk about what we're going through in our individual lives in terms of the noise in our head. And then we talk about what's happening in the world in terms of the noise in our society, but it's rare that we bring it back to the noise in our DNA, the noise in our body itself. So this has been a lot of fun in terms of being a conversation. I would say that it's the same lesson, right? Just like the noise with the world can't be addressed. You have to find the peace within yourself to recognize you are the world. And then the noise within yourself can't be addressed. You have to find the peace within yourself to discover that it's all just potential parts of you, not you itself. I would say that the same is true for our health, for our genetics, for taking care of our body and our species and all of that, taking care of this vessel. Just relax, right? Try to find not the silence, but the flow, the natural noise, you know, the stream that's gently running past as opposed to the torrent of your desire and need. That sounds more like a fire hose blasting a wall rather than something that's just gently trickling by with all of the patience of eternity. That's it. The silence is within you, but the noise is beautiful when you're not in there adding chaos to it and creating a cacophony.
All said, I think that was a fantastic episode. I really enjoyed talking about that. There's so much to all of these, and like epigenetics, I'm pretty fascinated by it now. And if I know this wasn't like an in-depth like thing on epigenetics by any means, but that's how our community topics go. So if you want to hear more, just Google it and think, because yeah, there's so much tied in to that. But the shift starts with me, starts with you, just right now, and your willingness not even to like try and be silent or quiet, but just stop trying to be anything other than what you are. And that impact is immeasurable, but it's exciting to see it play out with us.
Hell yeah. This has been a blast. Thank you for joining us, everyone. We will have another Community Topics episode in the near future. Keep track of us on Patreon if you can, or at least join our community Discord where we do take suggestions for these community topics. Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Bye, everybody.